we're so blessed this morning to have Pastor Richard Marshall and Sweet Therese here today. They've been serving God for a long time. And Pastor Mark, I was just thinking this morning, there was years back we went and we were, I think it was Pastor Kyle, myself, Norman Riley, Pastor Marshall, we were helping build a barn for Pastor Jones years and years ago. And so, I don't know if anybody likes doing insulation. I know I don't. I know some of you have. And, you know, it's hard work. It's dirty work. And so we were working there, and there was a scaffolding set up, I don't know, 25, 30 feet, just one set. And it was on wheels and, you know, just didn't seem very stable or anything like that. And I didn't want to go up there. I didn't want to put that insulation in up in the ceiling. Pastor Marshall climbed right up there, got to work, and I thought, you know what? He works hard for the kingdom of God. He works hard to help other people, and it made an impression on me, just something as simple as that. But him and his wife have been pastoring for a number of years. Pastor Marshall he's got the fire, I'll tell you that. He's got the fire. We're so blessed to have him here this morning. And how many know if you say amen, he'll preach better. Yeah. Now, so let's give him a hand.
Praise the Lord. Man, it's so good to be here. Hallelujah. It's different without Pastor here, though, huh? But Jesus is here.
That's right.
Amen. You know, right now, I was just trying to think. It's about 9 or 10 o'clock at night there where he's at. So he's trying to go to sleep right now, but I don't know how successful he's going to be. Because for him, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, or 10:30 in the morning. So, you know, my wife and I are getting ready. We're going to go to Kenya this Sunday we're leaving. So he's going to be in Congo. We're on a little bit one country over in Kenya. Pray for my wife and I. This is going to be her first time going. And over the years, I've been there half a dozen times, and every time I go, I come back with horror stories, something that happened. She's all freaked out. She thinks, you know, that you're going to have AK-47s at the airport or something. But I had to ease up on all the stories. Amen. But we're going to have a good time, too. I'm excited. We're still going into the world preaching the gospel, aren't we?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to know age is only a number.
Yeah.
A few. Amen? But it is. Praise God. There's not a single person in this room right now that I'm looking at right now that God is not using or wants to use right now for his kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Age doesn't mean anything. How young you are, how old. Just a willingness to do whatever God wants you to do. That's why you guys have such a good pastor and his wife, amen. You see all his kids and grandkids here. You got a legacy going on in this church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is an awesome church.
Amen. Amen.
Every time we come here, we're so privileged to be here. Amen. It's just exciting.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful. You know, every time I preach, thank you, everybody thinks that he needs a glass of water. But that ain't it. I've been yelling for so many years. There's no hope. I want to share something with you this morning. I thought about this message. You know, the older you get, you're supposed to be wiser. How many can say amen? This month, this is August 2025. This month, my wife and I, we got saved 40 years ago this month at the Colorado Springs Church. We walked into that church. I mean, I was 26 years old at the time, and she was 19 or 20. 19, I think. I'm 6 years older than her. We walked into that church. Man, I was a mess. You've heard my testimony. I had all kinds of addiction problems, in jail, this, that, and the other. She wanted to leave me. We had all kinds of issues. But we walked into this fellowship of churches, and then it was a transformation that took place in our lives. And I never really think about it that much anymore. It's been a long time until just recently, because I've seen in the last few years, I keep hearing about old friends and even some old enemies that have died. You know, anytime someone passes away, somehow through the grapevine, someone will contact you and let you know this person passed away or that person passed away. And it got, I started thinking about my mortality, where I'm at, you know. I'm not in my 20s anymore, I'm in my 60s, so, and I'm thinking, you know, what does the future hold? But I hope when I'm done with this, that you're going to be encouraged.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're 87 years old, God still has something for you to do.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In Psalms 144:4, he says, man is like a breath, his day is like a passing shadow. In Psalms 90:12, this is Moses, he said, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. You know, one of the crazy things is if you haven't seen somebody for a long time, some of you probably know this, another believer, maybe they moved away and they come back. I think for me, maybe I'm not looking in the mirror because, you know, I didn't realize I don't have any more hair except gray hair. But I look at them and I'm shocked how they have changed. Amen. Some have expanded, some have shrunk, some have gotten gray, some have lost hair, like my brother. Amen. And things change. How many know that? But the gospel message does not change. Amen. And the urgency of this gospel message absolutely does not change. And all through the Word of God, you hear about people that God used in their latter years. You know, if you've ever read about Smith Wigglesworth, he was a very powerful man of God. And I've heard that he raised like 22 people from the dead. But he didn't even go into the ministry until he was in his 40s. Amen? He was timid. He couldn't get up to preach. He couldn't do much of anything. And I think it was because he got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And then he began to get up. And then that guy was if you could ever read any books by Smith Wigglesworth, I would encourage you to read them. But then you hear about people like Moses. How old was Moses when God finally got him into his destiny? He was in 80s.
Yeah.
80s. Amen? You know, I don't understand this term in our generation, retirement.
Yeah.
You know, I keep looking through the Bible. I can't seem to find that word, retirement. I can find, you know, I understand we retire because we want to get away from a job. We want to get away from some career we've been doing. But as far as our business or work with God, there is no retirement.
Yeah.
You don't retire, you refire. You may be a little slower. You may live a little bit. But you keep on trucking. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For me, these last 40 years, man, have flew by. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you noticed as you get older that things go much faster?
Yeah.
When I was younger, man, I thought I had the world by the tail. You know, we were going to win the world for Jesus. We were going to make a difference in the kingdom of God. I had all kinds of young friends, and we were out on the streets. We would do crazy things like make signs that say, revival, revival. We'd hold these signs up. We didn't even know what the word meant. We were new converts. And we were excited. Everywhere we went, we wanted to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And then but what happens as you begin to age and you go along, amen, you go through a lot of different, I guess you could say, there's a lot of setbacks and a lot of separation. You lose a lot of friends.
Yeah.
If you're going to serve God, did you know that sometimes you're going to have to serve God alone? I can't tell you how many people that I've known over the years that are no longer in my life. Some of them for all the wrong reasons, you know, and others that passed away. In 1985, when my wife came into the church, this is the first time we've ever been in a Pentecostal church, or really any church for that matter, and Pastor Jones was preaching, man, I tell you what, there's something about that man when he preaches, and he had me hook, line, and sinker. He had me, man. He pulled that altar call. My wife and I went down there, and there was a man who came down to pray with me and led me to the Lord. I didn't know him. I didn't know him at all. His name was George Taronis.
Yeah.
And through the years, somehow he drifted off. Him and his brother drifted off. I had no idea where they went. His family was still in the church, but he had gone somewhere else. I moved on, and he moved on. Well, I think it was Thursday, I got a phone call from one of his family members saying that he was in the hospital and he had hours to live. And I was like shocked. I was like, what? They told me they all these different conditions and things he had. They cut off his leg, you name it. He had all kinds of issues, but he had hours to live. And we were in the car, and I was thinking about it, and I said, can you FaceTime him for me then? Because he's in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
And so they FaceTimed him and held the phone up, but he was staring into the abyss. They said he wasn't talking. He wasn't responding to anything, and he was just staring into the abyss. And so I start talking to him, and at first he's not even paying attention to me until I started reminding him of when we first got saved. And I said, remember when we were new converts and we were so excited about getting out there and witnessing and talking about Jesus? We talked about the rapture. We talked about the end times. One day we're going to meet Jesus. And all of a sudden his eye went shoot, and he caught the phone, man. Now he's looking at me, right? He can't talk. He's got oxygen tubes all coming out of everywhere. And he's looking at me like this. And I said, I'm going to pray for you right now. And as I began to pray for him, his hands went up in the air like this. Amen. He held those hands up in the air, and then they couldn't hold the phone. The girl that was holding the phone was crying so hard she couldn't keep it up. So she, I didn't know what happened after that. But the next day he went to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Life is short.
Yeah.
Some of you young people, I know you're not listening to me right now, but you think you're going to live forever. You are not Superman or Superwoman. Amen? In Psalms chapter 39, verse 4 through 8, I'm sorry, I didn't have that one ready. Here we go. Psalms 39, 4 through 8 says this. He said, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them in. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? And then he says, my hope is in you. There was a Jewish proverb that said, every man knows he will die, but not everyone wants to believe it. And then he says, nothing is as certain as death, and nothing is so uncertain as the hour of death. In other words, what that means is you don't know when you leave it.
Yeah.
I know this is like a funeral sermon to some people, but it's not. Amen? We'll bring it around here in a minute. But this is a subject we never talk about. How many know we never talk about death? We don't want to talk about it. We pretend like it's not going to happen. We pretend like, oh man, that's not going to happen. And I'll be honest with you, I'm waiting on the rapture just like you.
Yeah.
If it happened right now, I'm ready to go. Let's go. How many are ready to go?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm hoping for the rapture. I live in Denver, Colorado, the armpit of the nation. Amen. And I'm hoping for the rapture right after the altar call. Amen. On Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm always talking about Denver, but God put us in Denver. Amen. It takes a crazy person to stay and live in Denver. Actually, we moved out of the city, I have to admit. We moved out of the city up north into the country. Got us a place. I got chickens and a dog and a garden, and I'm happy. Amen. And I just have to go into the city to do my thing. You know, I read some time ago that the chances of death. You know, the chances of winning the state lottery are 1 in 4 with 6 zeros behind it. I don't know what that is. But the chance that you will eventually die if the rapture does not happen, guess what the chances are? 1 in 1. We're going to die. I know this is not a hallelujah sermon, but we're going to die one day. And you know, can I ask you a question? This is something I talk to some people about. Why are we so afraid of death? If we're saved and we love God, And we're looking forward to being with Jesus. We read about him. We prayed to him. We've seen his miracles, signs, and wonders. We talk about him all the time. But to go meet him, you have to die. Unless the rapture happens. We don't want to die. I've met people, man, that were on their deathbeds that were so excited about dying. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Pastor Blake lost his mom some time ago. And he told me the story of right before her death. She told him, she said, I want to wear this, I want to look like this, I want to make sure my makeup looks like this. And then she's telling all, she's all happy and excited, I get to go see Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, most Christians ain't like that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're not taking up a load this morning to heaven. But why is it so hard to think about it? I want to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
This piddly little life that we live 70, 80, or 90 years is such a small amount of time. We put so much into it. But eternity, I can't even measure eternity. It's hard to fathom what eternity is. I heard a man one time to give an example of what eternity would be like. And he said, and he just tried to give the best example he could to his congregation. He said it would be like a bird that goes to the beach and grabs one grain of sand, flies around the world, grabs another grain of sand, and then keeps doing that until it depletes all the beaches of the planet, and now you're at the beginning of eternity. Eternity. You ever thought about it? No. So looking at your face, you ain't thinking about it. Because you know what's got to happen for you to get there. And I want to tell you this. I believe God, and I know I talked to Pastor Jones about this one time. He's believing God. He's going up in the rapture. And so am I. But for those people that get left behind, maybe they need to hear this. For us, we know where we're going. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he says, "And as it is appointed unto men to die once, after this the judgment." Job said in Job 14:5, he said, "You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we have to live, and we are not given a minute longer." You know, when you look at death as a thing, and I say this to many of the people who go to churches in our fellowship that aren't right with God. They look at death as something far in the future, far in the distance, amen? You get tempted to delay the necessary preparations to go. And they say, "Well, I'll get right at the end, or I'll do whatever God wants me to do at the end." You don't have that assurance. The Bible says that you're not promised tomorrow. How many know that? We're not promised tomorrow. And I think about it, you know, and sometimes it grieves me to think about all my family members that have died. A lot of my friends are dying. I lost my mama, my brother, my son. I can name all these people that are gone. But I can sit here and have a pity party about people that have gone. Many of them went to heaven. They're waiting on me. Amen? I kind of want to go. I kind of want to get out of here sometimes. But then I start thinking about them grandbabies. But if the rapture happens, them grandbabies are going with me. Hallelujah. I think that when you look at death as a thing in the distance or in the future, man, you have to consider how short life really truly is. You can't be focused so much, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but you can't focus on career and money or people or what somebody did to you, unforgiveness. You've got to look at eternity, man, as something. If I want to be with Jesus, I have to have my heart prepared to go to meet Jesus. I got to get rid of all the little sins and all the little things in my life that I know don't please God. I want to keep my heart right with God. That's why we're in church on Sunday morning. That's why we go to church on Wednesday night. That's why we get up in the morning and pray. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we obey the Word of God. That's why we witness. That's why we do what we do, because we want to be with Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, he says, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, and it is found in the way of righteousness." But for the person who plays games with God, let me tell you something, there should be a holy fear. A holy fear. I mean, I don't know about here, but in my church, I got a lot of people, men, who play Jesus. They play God. They don't think I know, or that I can hear from God, and I know what they're doing. You know, Pastor, I want to do this and that, and then I know what they're doing on the side. I had a couple one time come to me years ago and say, "Pastor, pray for me." I said, what do you need prayer for? She said, "We're going to go clubbing tonight, and I just want to get forgiveness before we go." You think there are people with that kind of mentality? There are. And you got people, man, they play church. There's a lot of people that play church. Churches all over the world, they play church. They come because they want to feel better. They want to come in there and they think, you know, if I just go to the altar, I'll be okay. But there's no change. There's no conversion. There's no transformation. When there's a transformation, everything changes. Not only on the outside, but on the inside, something changes. You want to do what's right when people aren't looking. Right? How many can say amen to that? If you're a guy, you keep your eyes on Jesus, your wife, and that's it, right? Amen. You think God don't see?
Yeah.
God sees everything.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. He sees everything. He knows the intents of the heart.
Yeah.
I'm not up here preaching perfection. What I am saying is I'm striving. I want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to make heaven my home. I want to be able, man, to, when I lay on that, those last few moments of my life, I can lift my hands like George, amen,
yeah,
and know that I'm about to meet Jesus. Did you know what death is like? It's like walking from one room to the next. No purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. It's not in the Bible. It's walking. As soon as you take that last, you exhale that last breath, you inhale in heaven.
Yeah.
If there's no waiting, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking instantaneously, you're in the presence of God. Anybody that you know that's already in heaven is already waiting for you. Oh, man, they look good in heaven, too.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No more. I don't believe there's much gray heads up there. I personally believe everybody's about 30 years old, about the age of Jesus. How many of you would like to be 30 years old again? I would. Hallelujah. Did you know the average lifespan of a human being worldwide, I'm talking worldwide, is 67 years old. In the U.S., for men, it's 74, and for women, it's 80. But back in 1900, the life expectancy of men was 47. We've extended it, you know, with health care and all this other, and eating right and whatnot. Did you know 18 times a minute you have to breathe? If you don't, you're dead within 3 minutes. We are one puff away from standing before God. Amen? We've each been given 1,440 minutes every day. And God has a call. I'm not focusing on death. I'm just kind of giving us a reality check this morning on this Sunday morning that, hey, man, one day we're going to stand before God. It's time to get it all right. It's time to get things right with God.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room and everybody in the kingdom of God has things in their lives that the Holy Spirit's always tapping on your shoulder about.
Yeah.
All of us. Me too.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that attitude. I don't like the way you treat your wife. I don't like the way you do this. I don't, hey, you know what? Those thoughts you're having, those ain't right. Amen.
Yeah.
If you're sensitive enough, the Holy Spirit speaks to all of you in here. Speaks to me too.
Yeah.
And I want to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that I listen. It's one thing to listen, but it's another thing to obey.
Yeah.
That's what preaching's for. Did you know there's preaching and teaching? Teaching informs, preaching challenges. We got plenty of teachers in the world. They want to teach. We need some preaching. We need some good old John the Baptist teaching. Amen? You vipers. You snakes. Do you know, everybody's afraid to just preach the gospel because they think they're going to lose people. You know, so what if, I don't understand it, man. I have lost a lot of people. Which one? Amen? What kind of people do you want in your church? I want people, man, that are willing to get behind the vision, amen, and do what's right. I got it. I mean, some time back, I got a bunch. Is this being recorded? They're probably not going to go to the Cortez website and listen to this. We were in church one day. Not long ago, you guys, we were in church. And in the service, man, we had just begun the song service. And there was a guy who's been coming to church for several years, sitting on the front row. He's been giving me fits forever. Oh, I mean, crazy, doing crazy things. He's on the front row, and there's another guy about halfway back. And they're arguing. And I'm telling him, I told him, knock it off. What's wrong with you? So he knocked it off for a second, and then he turns around and walks back, and then just sucker punches this guy during the song service. And then turned and came after me. Started coming down the aisle. I jumped off the stage. I'm sorry. I was coming down. But all these guys in the back got a hold of him, grabbed him, snatched him up, and took him to the back. And then for 45 minutes while waiting for the cops, he was cussing me out. In church, we messed up the whole service. He's cussing and screaming, telling me he's going to kill me, and yada, 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 and I got him kicked out of the church.
Yeah.
And that's just not, and I know that's Denver, right? But there's a lot more people like that in the world.
Yeah.
Some are very reserved. They're sitting on the inside, on the outside, but standing on the inside.
Yeah.
And then they might hear a message like this, or hear Pastor Bland get up here and preach a message and smile, but in their hearts they're saying, I don't believe it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
I will tell you this, we'll be in Denver, it'll be 9 years in January. I had more people want to fight me in Denver than when I was in the world. That's my wife. I mean, road rage, people want to fight. I'm like, Lord have mercy, man. What's wrong with people? Everybody wants to fight. Thank God for concealed carry. I am Keith. If I die, I die. I read a poem recently. It goes like this. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. And when I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. Soon, I shall find that while traveling on, time gone. I got to thinking, why would I preach a message like this? I've never preached a message like this in my life. Amen. And it's only because I'm watching all these people go into eternity. And many of them, I don't know if they were right with God or not. And they would need something like this. Amen. Are you right with God?
Yeah.
Are you truly right with God? How? And here's one of the things that we think that don't matter. I know a few people that they don't treat their wives right. They're very harsh with them in their opinions. They're very harsh in their dealings with their wives. Did you know, I think it's in 1 Peter, it says if you're harsh with your wife and your opinions towards your wife and you're kind of brutal with her, then God's not going to hear your prayers.
Yeah.
That was quiet. I learned that years ago. Amen. You want to know how I learned that? I was in a revival meeting. There's probably 500 people in a meeting. I'm just minding my business about halfway back. And there's an evangelist, and he has a gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And he's walking around. He turns, and he says, stand up to me. Oh, okay. Get a good word. Maybe you guys have to tell me something. Good. He says, you're too harsh with your wife. You're too harsh in your opinions with her. And you know, I had an attitude of, it's my way or the highway. You know what I'm saying? It's my way. I was never abusive physically with my wife. It's my words. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. That guy, man, he had my attention.
Yeah.
Amen. And then he told me that there's no one who loves you more or is more supportive of you than your wife. She's a compliment to you. Love her in that. And from that day forward, man, I began to change how I talked to my wife. How I dealt with her. She's not a dude. She's not my homeboy. I can get into it. Me and you can have a little tiff, you know, maybe. What are you doing? I went fishing with my brother yesterday. I could have said, man, what are you doing? You got my line. You stuck my line. What's wrong with you, right? We're good. 5 minutes later, we're still fishing. I can't do that with my wife. It's a totally different animal. Mars, Venus. Amen? The way you talk to your wife is absolutely vital if you want God's blessing on your life. They're different. Amen? I don't know. I don't understand women. Can I just say that? If I knew, I'd write a book and get rich. But this I do know. I got one, and I want to do the best that I can with her while I'm serving God. Amen? I threw that in. Had nothing to do with my message, but somebody needed to hear that. Recently, I lost another friend, and maybe some of you remember his name is Mitch Grice. Does anybody remember Mitch Grice?
Amen.
Colorado Springs Church, been there for 50 years. The most faithful man I've ever met in my life. He's been there from 1978 up until about a year and a half ago. No, last year he passed away. He passed away last year. Out of nowhere, I was just with him. That was the thing that blew my mind. I was just with him. And he passed away. I mean, it blew my mind. He was the guy, if you ever go to a Colorado Springs conference, somebody was prophesying, that was him. He was the one, amen, either in tongues or giving interpretation. That was Mitch. What a guy, man. I never seen him get angry. I never seen him go off on anybody. He had all kinds of problems with his family, but he always loved God. He was always faithful, always doing what's right. And one day, he was gone. And it really affected me. I worked with him in ministry for many years. He helped me in drama and breakaway of different things. But right before he passed away, it was New Year's Eve 2023. I had him come up with a band for New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, what we do is we have a chili cook-off. We have a bunch of trophies. We have testimonies that night. And then whoever makes the best chili or the best salsa or whatever it is, you know, they get the trophies. And we have, it's a good time on New Year's Eve, man. Instead of going out and getting drunk, you come to church.
Yeah.
And so we're having a great time. He's up there, and he wants to give his testimony. He's playing the guitar or the bass, I think. And he starts giving his testimony, and I'm in the back. And, you know, in a concert scene in our fellowship, you give two-minute testimonies because you want to keep it moving. You want to keep the thing moving. Testimony, two songs, testimony, drama, you know, like that. He gets up there and he's testifying forever. I mean, he's going on and on and on, sharing. And I'm in the back and I'm like pacing back and forth like a lion. I'm like, what is he doing? I mean, this guy, come on, Mitch, what are you doing? I was even back there going like this, trying to, didn't bother him a bit. Just kept going. I didn't know that was going to be the last time he ever gave his testimony publicly. Amen. No, life is short, man. I hope I'm not depressing you. I'm just trying to give you a... We're going to live a long time. I'm going to live a long time serving God. Whether I live long or not long, I want to serve God. I want to go out in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. To the young people that are in this service this morning, this message is going to be forgotten in a week. Amen. Because you think that death is in the far future for you, that you've got plenty of time. And you can get serious with God some other time, maybe in the future. Let somebody else do it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he said, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. How many would agree with me? The days are evil. These are evil times. These are evil times. And I hate to use Denver as an example, but the FBI just designated Aurora, Colorado, which is right next to Denver, as the cartel capital of the United States. In other words, if they were in the United States and they were going to do their business somewhere, they're doing it out of Aurora, Colorado, which is right by me. And I actually want to plant a church there. And there's so many crazy things. I do got a good guy I could put in there. He's a good guy. I hope you guys get to meet him at conference. His name is Poncho Chavez. Oh my gosh, what a good guy. Hallelujah. And he's hard. And he can do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Aurora. I believe that each day we live is a gift from God. I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah.
How often do you and I let the gift of today slip through our fingers because of something you're going through? We get weighed down by the worries of tomorrow or the regrets of yesterday. How many Christians are all caught in the past? They can't get over the past. They can't get over something that happened to them, something a pastor or somebody in church said to them, or a family member said to them, or maybe somebody at work, and they hold on to that. And I get tired of being around folks, man, and all they want to talk about is the past.
Yeah.
I like to talk about the past if it's positive and if we're talking about the things of God. But I can't go back and undo things. Neither can you. You can't undo anything. What's said is said. What's done is done. Whoever's died, died. You can't bring them back. We have all these superhero movies, you know, Superman and all these cartoon characters, man. And young people today think they can bring things back. Maybe there's a time portal, you know. That's another crazy thing that people believe, that there's time portals and you can go back in time. If there was a time portal, people that died and went to hell would come back. There is no time portal. There is now and there's tomorrow. I believe, and I'm going to say this, and I don't know about this church, but I do believe there are too many grumpy Christians in the church. There's some grumpy, I'm not looking around, grumpy people in the church. My God, you look like you've been weaned on a dill pickle, man. And you come to church, you should be happy. You should be excited. You should be, like, joyful, man. Yeah, if your kids are saved, my God, what a blessing. If your grandkids are on their way to be saved, praise God for that. You should be excited about being a Christian. In my bathroom, I have another one of my bathrooms upstairs. I put a sign up there. I see it every time I go in there. It says, today is a good day to have a good day. You know, being happy or being excited, being joyful as a believer is a choice. You choose to be happy. You choose to walk in, you know, in joy. I want to be happy. I don't like being around grumpy people, man. And there's a lot of them in church. And you know what? A lot of times pastors at the end of a service, the most grumpy people want to come talk to them after service. now nobody's coming. Right? And they want to come up and tell you, I don't understand. I thought I told you already. You know, if you quit smoking crack cocaine and you stop doing this, that, and the other, you'll see your life change. Amen? But people are grumpy because they're in sin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you guys with me? There's a Hebrew word for the word rejoice. Let me read this scripture. He says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And it's a Hebrew word, I'm going to butcher it, samach. Amen? It means to be joyful, to delight in, to express joy. He's not speaking about a passive emotion, but a deliberate choice to take joy into every day, despite what you're facing. I bet in this room there's so many things you guys are going through. You got all kinds of things facing you. It could be physically, mentally, spiritually. Things that are happening for young people at school. People are messing with you. It could be anything. But you still choose to be happy. You still choose to understand that you're saved. You're supposed to make heaven your home. So why be so grumpy? It's a good day to have a good day. Amen. A.W. Tozer once said, "Time is a resource that is non-renewable, non-transferable. You can't store it up, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or even give it up. You can only use it or lose it. Because yesterday's gone, and I'm excited about the future. I don't think about the past anymore. I want to think about the future. What does God want to do in my family? What does God want to do in this church? I'm so upbeat about the Denver church. I don't know about here, but in Denver, man, the church will grow, and then the church will shrink. And the church will grow, and the church will shrink. And in the shrinking part, man, this is where my faith is tested. Amen? Because, you know, somebody gets mad and never... How many know when somebody gets mad in the church, they never keep their mouths shut? They want to go around bumping their gums to everybody in church. So they get mad at you, at the pastor, and they start calling people. They tell the pastor, did anyone close that one? If you want to tell the church something that you're doing in church, tell the right person in church, and within 24 hours, everybody in church will find out exactly what's going on in your life. I believe that we need to make the most of every opportunity as believers. We got to seize the day for God, so to speak. The Bible encourages us to be intentional about how we live. I want to be intentional. Colossians 4:5 says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity." In other words, we need to begin each day with gratitude. Start your day. You know when you pray? Instead of praying that, you know, we all have a list of needs that we have. Oh my God, it's a long list. Well, how about just start thanking God for what you have?
Amen.
Thank you for what you do have.
Amen.
We're better off than many other people in many parts of the world. I travel around the world, and I've met a lot of people, and they ain't got doodly squat. And they're happier than not most Christians in America.
Yeah.
I went to a lady's house one time in the Ranchos in Costa Rica. They took me to this place, man. There's a gully that goes down the middle, going downhill between these shacks, and that's the sewage that comes down. And they don't have doors, they have sheets, and it was insane. And they invited me to one of the sisters where she lived, and I went in there. She wanted to give me something, but she had nothing. See what she gave me? She gave me a goose egg. She gave me a goose egg, man. And I remember she didn't speak English, and I told the interpreter, I said, "What am I supposed to do with this goose egg?" He said, "If you don't take it, you're going to offend her." That was a good learning. That was a lesson for me.
Yeah.
Amen. To her, it was a tremendous gift. She's giving away food that she can feed her kids. She's giving it to me.
Oh,
amen. You have so much to be thankful for. I look around this room. Did you drive here?
Yeah.
You have a car? I'm going to kill you. Most people don't have cars. Commonly, even less.
Yeah.
Amen. Many of you, in fact, most of you here look like you eat pretty good. Amen. You ain't skipping no meals. We got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
Look at that husband you got, ladies. He may not be what he was when you first met him, but he's yours. Amen? Psalms 92, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read this close. Listen. He says this. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to God, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Sometimes I've been trying to do this lately. I get up to pray. God already knows my need. He already knows what I need. He already knows. You know me, I'm not hiding anything from him. I just start thanking him. You know, I've had some physical difficulties here and there, some different things that have happened, and I thank God. I had to get a knee replacement about 12 years ago. Man, I never thanked God so much when I was able to walk again. Amen. I was believing God for my healing. Didn't happen. But you know what? I'm thankful that I can run, I can walk. I'm thankful. I've had all kinds of things that happen. I'm thankful that I can still talk. I'm thankful that I can still see. I started losing my, started getting double vision. My right eye acted crazy. You know, crazy things happen when you get old. You're like, what is going on here? Amen. And sometimes, man, if I wear my glasses too long, I see double. So if I'm looking at you weird, that's because I see double. Amen. But I'm thankful that I can see. Sometimes I have to close one eye to see straight. And it's good for me. I can see. I think about all the things that God's done in my life. Sometimes reminiscing is good when you're thinking about the goodness of God and everything that God's done for you. There's something about it. You want God to bless you? Start thanking him for what he's already done for you, man. Think of all the things, all the blessings that you and I have. I'm so grateful, man, for what God's doing in my life. I'm so grateful for my wife. I'm grateful, man, for... especially grateful for my grandkids. I like my grandkids better than I liked my kids. Here's a question that I want to ask. If you're here and you say you're not happy in this life, you have to ask yourself, what are you living for? Bigger house, nice car, new clothes. The only thing that's going to make you happy is doing the will of God. I've never been more happy doing what God asked me to do. I can get something new, but I guess the glimmer of it, the excitement of it will wear out eventually. Amen. But doing something for God is lasts for eternity. I want to make a difference in my life. 40 years ago when I got saved, I want to make a difference. And 40 years later, I'm still wanting to make a difference. Yeah. I'm not giving up. I'm refiring. I want to keep going, keep on trucking. Did you know Pastor Jones is with Jonathan right now? And you know how old Pastor Jones is? He was with Moses when they parted the Red Sea. grass does not grow under his feet. Amen? I can't remember if he's 79 or 80, but he's pushing it. Amen? It's not going to stop him. As long as he can get him into that plane, he's going to do something for God.
Yeah.
Amen? That's how I want to be. I want to go and go and go and go until I can't go. And I want to change something real quick. Just give me about 5 minutes. I want to talk about older people. Because many times in churches, we dismiss the older people. First and foremost, I will tell you, without the older people, you ain't got nothing. Amen? Because they've already been where you've been. They've already done what you did. And they have wisdom. And the most amazing thing to me about young people, amen, is why, if you're newly married, why would you not go to an older person in the church who has a successful marriage, been married 30, 40, 50, 60 years? Why wouldn't you ask them advice on marriage? Instead, you go to TikTok, and you go to YouTube, and you go to social media. My daughter, God almighty, when she was having her first baby, I kept asking her, why don't you ask your mom what to expect? You know, she'll tell you all about it. She knows she did it. She goes, Dad, I just went to YouTube. And you know, she really said that. It was a TikTok or YouTube, one of them. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You're kidding me, right? But we do that. We don't appreciate older people. And you know, in the Word of God, we're supposed to honor older people.
Yeah.
I know there are some crazy older people.
Like my mom.
Well, not all of them are crazy. Well, what do you say? Grandpa's crazy. What do you say?
My mom.
I apologize. Just because someone is older doesn't mean that God can't use them. The reason you're still here, and I'll tell you why, is God's not finished with you yet. It may be a little different than the way you were doing it, but God's not done with you. There are people he wants you to influence, people to reach. He might want you to help support the gospel, whatever it is. I love Proverbs 16:31. He says, gray hair is a crown of life. It's gained in a righteous life. Listen to what the Bible says about older Christians. In Ruth, 4:15. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. In Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And finally, Psalms 91:16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Remember this statement. Embrace the gift of today, trusting God for your tomorrows. Embrace the gift of today, trusting God with your tomorrows. Life is short. I want to do something for God. How about you? I want to do something for God. I don't want to retire. What is retire? I don't understand the word. Amen. I'll take the Social Security. I'm going to take that. That doesn't do a thing. I'm still going to work. Hallelujah. I want to do something. I'm always going to do something. And if I get to the place where I can't do anything, then God take me home. But I'm kind of hoping on the rapture. The Bible says to honor the older saints. I want all the young people to look up here. Young, I mean 40 and below. Amen? Honor the older saints. Job 12:12. He said, is not wisdom found among the aged, and does not long life bring understanding? In 1 Timothy 5, I love it. He said this, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat the younger men as brothers, as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Yeah. And finally, here's a promise to the older saints. Hallelujah. I want to read this one in Isaiah 46:4. He says, even to your old age and gray hair, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. It ain't always going to be like this. Hallelujah. You're not going to heaven as a decrepit old fart. Can I just say it like that? It's not going to happen. I don't know, man. I preached this in Colorado, in the Denver church. The older people in my church loved it. The younger people didn't. But I want to say this. You should honor the older folk. Honor them. You know, we used to stand up in a room with an older person would walk in the room. In respect, you would stand up when they came into the room. Remember that? The older people remember that? Amen? We respected them. I would say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Yeah.
Amen. But today, people are absolutely so disrespectful. They're so disrespectful, and even in church, to older people. It bothers me, man. It really does bother me. I don't care what people say to me. I kind of enjoy it when people act crazy and want to come after me. It just makes me realize I'm stirring the devil up. Amen? When I see people disrespect older people, and I'm always honoring the older saints in my church, and because they're good people, man. They've been held back, and they're a rare breed in this generation. We need older folks. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Grateful this morning that we're able to come into your house and sing and worship you and lift up your name. And God, dig into your word. Father, we're very grateful. We're a grateful people, God. I thank you, God, that you keep your hand upon this church, that God, you keep your hand upon these older saints, God. They understand, they should feel that they are absolutely vital to the work of God. And I pray, God, that if there is any man or woman in here who feels that they're not, that God's using them anymore, they feel like they're kind of a castaway, I pray, God, you would reaffirm with them the call of God on their life. Did you know the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance? In other words, if you were 20 years old and God called you into the ministry, and now you're 70, you're still called into the ministry. It might be a little different. It might be adjusted. but you're still called. If you're in this place and you're called to be a pastor, you're going to stand before God as a pastor. If you're in this place and you're called to be an evangelist, you're going to stand before God when you die as an evangelist. God has something for every single person in this room. You make a difference. And God wants to use your life. And real quick, I just want to talk to some of these younger men in their 20s and 30s. Amen. You know something? Don't let the world draw you away from the will of God. Don't leave everything up to the older people. You are called by God. You're in a church like this. You're called by God to do something for God. You're called to make a difference to your coworkers. You're called to make a difference to the kids. You're called to make a difference to your neighbors. All of us in this place. All of us in this place. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is called by God. And if you're still breathing, you should be fulfilling that call and thanking God for it. I want to ask all over this place, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, of course I don't know everybody. Every time I come, you have so many new people. I just want to ask, if you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you've just never been saved, and you find yourself in this service, and the Spirit of God, He's tugging on your heart right now, saying, come to me. You know what? Right now, you can be saved. You can know Jesus. Your life can be totally transformed this day, right now, by one decision to say yes to Christ. If that's you all over this place, whether you've never done it or you're backslidden and you need to come back, just hold your hand up and wave it at me. Put it right back down and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need Jesus.